What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Big Q. This is Sunday's best, your most prolific NFL podcast that's out there right now. Doing big things. I'm happy to be, you know, recording my sixth episode. I feel good about it. The response has been good. You guys have been showing me a lot of love. I definitely appreciate it. It's been great. I want to thank everybody who came out to the live show last night, Team Boy TV Live. It was lit as usual. We ran into a couple problems with YouTube, though. The YouTube situation was running rampant. YouTube was down worldwide for a while. And a big bulk of our audience is on YouTube. But, you know, if you guys want to watch something really cool, NFL online show, you know, three dudes just chopping it up, having a good time with it, you know, so check out Team Boy TV Live, man. Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. It's going to be on the YouTube platform on YouTube.com/TeamBoyTVTurbo. Also, you can catch it on Facebook at Facebook.com/UrbanArenaMedia. Also, you can catch it on live on Sportscaster. That's Sportscaster with CASTR.com/TeamBoyTVLive. Yeah, it's good stuff, man. We had a good show. It was amazing. Had a lot of fun. But, you know, that's how we gonna get ready for our week 10 situation right here on Sunday's Best. And, you know, that's what we do on Sunday's Best. You know, we get ready for the football week, and we, you know, we're gonna get ready. We'll have our, later on, we're gonna have our picks. And, you know, this week is gonna be special. I'm gonna be joined by one of my closest homies, man. One of my boys who've been through the same with me for a long time. It's gonna be his first time showing up on Sunday's Best podcast. I'm gonna welcome the Sage's Sports Glass to the podcast later on to help me out with these picks. We actually going to talk about, you know, some conversation that was had, but you know, between about from Brett Favre. He made some comments about Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz's coach Doug Peterson had some stuff to say about it. It's a long storied history between Doug Peterson and Brett Favre. You know, it's something interesting I want to talk about. And also, I always had some situations with Carson Wentz that I wanted to discuss, and this was perfect. This is a perfect opportunity for me to talk about, you know, how I feel about when Carson Wentz. Also, you know, I've read into this article about, you know, some players that are in a contract seasons this season, and you know, and it ain't really looking good. They're making a good case for themselves, and you know, I don't know what these clubs and franchises are going to do with these players who are in a contract situation and ain't really proven to be all that helpful, you know, at the moment right now. But, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll get into a lot of that. That's what we do. It's Sunday's Best. We're ready to kick off your NFL week. We do it right here. Let's get it cracking. All right. All right. The first thing I got on my agenda is the halftime festivities that we, you know, we're going to be, you know, entertained with this year. The news came out, I guess it was today, that The Weeknd is going to be our halftime entertainment. And I got to tell you, I'm personally not a fan. I'm not familiar with his work. I'm not familiar with none of his songs and that like that. So, you know, this is going to be one of them years where the halftime show ain't really going to be all that like, great. But, you know, it's at the same time, I know they want to, they want to cycle in a lot of these younger talents and things like that. You know, I was cool with the Bruno Mars stuff and Lady Gaga and all that. You know, I just remember, you know, the Super Bowl being, you know, the halftime show just being a real prestigious thing. So, you know, the acts that actually deserved it and earned it over, you know, having a nice catalog and a body of work to, you know, have a Super Bowl performance, you know, cap off their careers or whatever. But, you know, that doesn't seem like this is letting pretty much anybody do it. You know, like I wasn't really impressed with the Katy Perry stuff and all that, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's The Weeknd, it is what it is. I ain't gonna trip about it too much, but, you know, I guess it's time to, you know, you can go use the bathroom or, you know, if you smoke or whatever, you can step out on the balcony or whatever the case may be. But personally, I'm not super excited about it, but, you know, we got to keep our fingers crossed to make sure we get to the Super Bowl because, you know, this COVID-19 thing is real. This is, you know, we talked about it, you know, in depth last week. But, you know, more and more contingencies been put in place with the playoffs. And, you know, in case, because, you know, right now the record number of COVID-19 cases is just, it's ridiculous right now. And the NFL is making moves. They're doing what they need to do. But, you know, right now I feel like we're not in any danger of losing that season, but You know, it's one of them things that, you know, we always got to kind of keep in the back of our mind. You know, in other news, though, so, you know, I was just looking around and I was like, oh, it's a lot of some players who are in contract years who ain't really making a real nice case for themselves. They just, you know, not really looking good at all, man. And, you know, it's crazy to think because, like, I realized that some people just signed some ridiculous, like, we talk about Cam Newton here in a minute, but it's crazy stuff, right? So I'm looking at this article. It says contract year performances can have significant economic consequences. Fortunes can be made and lost when a player is on an expiring contract. The jury was still out on Jameis Winston heading into 2019 while playing on a $20.922 million fifth-year option with the Buccaneers last season. Winston made the wrong kind of NFL history in 2019. Winston became the first player to throw at least 30 touchdown passes and 30 interceptions in the same season. He also had a league-high 111 giveaways, 88 interceptions, 23 lost fumbles. From the time he entered the NFL in 2015 through 2019. That is crazy. It's ridiculous. Winston was in a rude awakening as a free agent, although he became the eighth player to ever throw more than 5,000 yards during the season of 2019. The Buccaneers gave Tom Brady a fully guaranteed two-year $50 million deal worth a maximum of $59 million with incentives to replace him. Winston is currently a backup quarterback with the Saints on a one-year $1.1 million contract with an additional $3.6 million in incentives. You know, so I don't know. They think Winston thing was a bad deal, but you know, and honestly, I don't even know if the Buccaneers are doing any better with Tom Brady. But like we talked about that on the live show last night, you know, the jury is still out what people think. After that debacle of a performance Tom Brady had last weekend, you know, it's hard to really say, you know, what's going on with that. So I don't know. It's cool. We'll work it out, right? So we'll start at the top of our list here. When one Mr., former Carolina Panthers, now New England Patriots quarterback, Cam Newton, projected quarterback franchise tag for next season will be $24.72 million. The probability of that going down is probably not so hot. Don't see the Patriots extending a franchise tag to Cam Newton based on what we've seen from him so far this season. Don't really see anybody else picking that up. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, the article says, a lack of interest after Newton's release by the Panthers in March led him to sign a one-year deal with a base value of $1.75 million, worth up to $7.5 million through incentives. Newton isn't passing the test with flying colors or resurrecting his career after being plagued by foot and shoulder injuries over the last two seasons. He got off to a hot start this season before testing positive for COVID-19. Newton performed so poorly initially upon returning to action from the coronavirus that he admitted that he could be benched with the continued subpar performances. Playing at high level over the second half of the season could result in the Patriots designating Newton as a franchise player. The 2021 non-exclusive quarterback franchise tag could be in the $25 million neighborhood with a steep drop in salary cap. Fortunately for Newton, the Patriots are in good shape with a salary cap for next year, and the 2021 free agent quarterback class is underwhelming. So I don't know, man. He may have a shot somewhere. Somebody might work that out. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I know for me, and I know this sounds crazy coming for me because I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. It's hard for me to kind of, you know, think about giving Cam Newton some money. That's a little tough for me. You know what I'm saying? It's a little tough. You know what I mean? Then you got Jadeveon Clowney. You know what I'm saying? He says $15 million average, $29 million in guarantees, 3 years worth of the $48 million through salary escalators. Clowney couldn't find any takers in free agency in his original asking price, which was reportedly over $20 million per year because of the lack of sacks and a core muscle injury that requires surgery. He signed 1 year deal for $13 million worth of the $15 million through incentives with the Titans to reunite with Mike Vrabel. The Titans head coach was Clowney's defensive coordinator with the Texans in 2017 and the linebackers coach for the three seasons before Clowney is sackless this season and suffered a left knee injury that could need surgery to repair meniscus. The three-time Pro Bowl is probably going to have to drastically adjust his financial expectations to attract significant interest in free agency during the offseason. How far the mighty have fallen? I just remember a couple of years ago, not just maybe 2 years ago, Jadeveon Clowney, Jonathan Joseph, J.J. Watt, Merciless. They were a frightening bunch of defensive backs in Houston. Along with, you know, really, really dangerous offensive weapons. And then they brought in a brand new dynamic quarterback in Deshaun Watson. everything for the Texans was set up for them to win. And, you know, and I can't believe what we are where we are now. They started 0-5 or 0-4 this season before firing their head coach slash general manager. It's a sad state of affairs. And, you know, it's hard to see. I mean, hard to imagine that, you know, kind of coming from that group where they were, them dudes were destined to win a Super Bowl just a couple years ago. And now, you know, he can't even, it's like he's going to have a hard time finding a job. And that's for $20 million, you know, a year, and you ain't even produced any kind of sacks or nothing like that this season. This is a little tough one. This next one here, you know, I was talking about this one going into the season, and I was saying, you know, coming off that crazy injury, AJ Green, man, it's crazy stuff. $15.75 million average slash $35.133 million and guarantees 3 years worth up to $49.125 million. The salary escalators, right? Green playing on a $17.971 million franchise tag this season made the most sense for the Bengals given his injury history. He didn't play at all last season because of an ankle injury suffered in training camp that required surgery. Green, who was 32 years old, also missed six games in 2016 because of hamstring tearing, was limited to nine games in 2018. Due to a toe injury, also requiring surgery. You know, a rapport between Green and the 2020 number one overall pick, Joe Burrow, has been slow to develop. I talked about that on the show last night, saying, you know, that the things are just not gelling between, you know, the rookie quarterback and the veteran wide receiver. You know, at the halfway mark of the season, Green is on pace for the worst season of his 10-year career. He has 31 catches for 316 yards with zero touchdowns. Green has started flashing the form that's made him seven-time Pro Bowler, more recently doing, you know, so consistently. For the remainder of the season, could put Green in line for one last big payday with another team as a free agent. I think at 32 years old, this one's going to be a little tough. I don't know about $35 million or nothing like that. I think, you know, in the ballpark of where he at right now, you know, he's playing on a franchise tag of 17, so that's 17 a year. And I think, you know, he probably should be looking forward to somewhere around $9 or $10 million a year. AJ Green could still be a threat given if you put him with the right quarterback. I think he could still be, that threat like he was a couple years ago when he was with Andy Dalton, you know. This one right here is not really super surprising to me. Mitchell Trubisky, you know, they got him benchmarked up against Marcus Mariota, who was not even really on a starting lineup nowhere right now. Mitchell Trubisky is kind of in flux himself with in and out of the starting lineup of the Chicago Bears. I think right now he's out in favor of Nick Foles or whatever the case may be. It's a little tough for him right now. $8.8 million average, $7.5 million in guarantees. 2 years with a maximum value of $47.5 million through salary escalators and incentives. I don't know about Mitchell Trubisky, man. This one is, you know, contract year. I don't know if he's proved enough in Chicago to, you know, I don't know, to extend him. You know, he might see a franchise tag coming his way if Chicago, so, you know, doesn't really know exactly what they want to do at the quarterback position. So they got Trubisky and they got Foles. They're in a tough position right now. Nick Foles was acquired from the Jaguars in the offseason trade because of the Bears weren't sold on Trubisky. 2017 second overall pick. The Bears declined to pick up their fifth-year option in 2021 for Trubisky for $24.837 million, which equals this year's quarterback transition tag. Trubisky, who surprisingly beat out Foles as the starting quarterback, was benched for ineffectiveness despite Chicago's 3-0 record. The Bears have dropped to 5-4 with the offense struggling under Foles. This has prompted speculation that Trubisky could get another chance once he recovers from his minor right shoulder injury, unless Trubisky starts living up to the hype that made him a high draft pick. If he gets the job back, you know, he is destined to be a backup for 2021, if he can find a job. You know what I mean? And then this next one is a tough nut to crack too. T.Y. Hilton, you know, man, you know, I think he had his best years when he had Andrew Luck. You know, it just seemed like, you know, Luck left the game, and, you know, and T.Y. Hilton just ain't really had nobody to match up his, you know, his intensity and things like that. It's just hard, man. You know, when you come out with somebody who, you know, you got a vibe with, and, you know, y'all are doing amazing things, and then, of course, you know, something happened where that person has to go away. You know, sadly, it's the reality of things. That's just the way things are, you know. T.Y. Hilton, $9 million average, $15 million in guarantees for 3 years. Hilton isn't bouncing back from the injury plague 2019 season as anticipated. His last 100-yard receiving game was Week 16 in 2018 when Andrew Luck was still the Colts quarterback. Hilton has 22 catches for 251 yards, zero touchdowns, and seven games this year. He is currently dealing with a groin injury, and Adrian Phillip Rivers' declining arm strength isn't even an ideal match for Hilton's deep threat capability. So he is definitely in the wrong place with the wrong quarterback right now. So those are guys you know to keep your eyes on. Maybe you can get some of them for the cheap. You know, the thing with Cam Newton is that's going to be a gamble. And, you know, like I said, you know, before he was unceremoniously, you know, shown the exit here in Carolina, is that, you know, Cam has the potential. We know what he can do. Is he ever going to, you know, get back to even, you know, 50% of what he used to be? You know, it's a gamble. You know, it's a gamble. You know, I don't think we've seen the you know, Cam, you know, at his best since return. I think he's still maybe having some, you know, confidence issues or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I just don't think you're ever going to get your money's worth out of Cam. I think, you know, maybe the Cam Newton experience might be, you know, almost done. You know, AJ Green, you know, out of all of those dudes, him, maybe T.Y. probably needs to find a different team. I don't think he's going to be able to do it with the Colts. He had a chance when he had Luck. But, you know, with the Phillip Rivers there, which I still don't know why they brought him there in the first place. You know, they had Jacoby Brissett. I don't know. Those guys are just not, don't match his intensity. Don't match his play style. I don't think he's ever going to be able to record the kind of numbers and performances like he did when he was with Luck. It's going to be hard, especially with a Phillip Rivers, you know, noodle arm Rivers. It's going to be tough. You know, that was going to be a hard one. You know what I mean? But AJ Green, again, need to get out of Cincinnati. You know, I just don't think he can win anything in Cincinnati. You know, if he was going to win in Cincinnati, he would have been done it by now because they had plenty of chances to do it. And they you know, they fell short a lot of those times. So, you know, I think his timetable of what he got left to give the game versus, you know, Cincinnati's timetable of being in a position to be able to be a competitor and be a contender. I don't think they match up too well. If I'm AJ Green, I am looking to get as far away from Cincinnati as possible. You know what I mean? That's just me. That's what I'm trying to do. I ain't trying to hang around. There's nothing in Cincinnati left. You know, everybody said Joe Burrow is promising, but you know, it's gonna take a long time to get some more weapons around him. And maybe you do need a bridge, like they're kind of doing in Arizona with Larry Fitzgerald. They have Larry Fitzgerald there, brought in Sammy Watkins, got some other things going. Got the old wily veteran kind of teaching the younger guys the ropes or whatever. Maybe that's what how they want to use AJ. But if I'm AJ, I'm trying to get the hell up out of Dodge. That's what I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying? I am trying to burn the road up. That's what I'm about right there, right? So, you know, I want to go ahead and get into my main situation that I wanted to talk about today, you know, and it's a doozy, you know, because it's one of them things, the conversations that I've been having for the last 2 years, I've been having with the fellas on Team Boy TV Live and various other, you know, outlets where I got a chance to speak my mind about some stuff. And it's the whole thing with Carson Wentz, man, and just the Philadelphia. Look, I know they went to the Super Bowl and won it. You know, it was weird because, you know, Carson Wentz was playing out of his mind. MVP on his way to grabbing that MVP title. He goes down, he gets hurt. They bring in Nick Foles, he's the cleaner. You know, he goes ahead and sweeps up the mess, you know, gets and had a fantastic playoff performance. You know, and also was brilliant in the Super Bowl that year. You know, it was great. And then he became the hometown hero. Delivered the Lombardi Trophy to the city of Philadelphia for the first time ever. And then the question was, what we do with Wentz? So when the next season started, I was actually surprised that they decided to re-up on Wentz and sent Foles packing to Jacksonville. Now, that right there tripped me out. I didn't know what was going on with that. But, you know, the dude just delivered the trophy to your city for the first time ever. I mean, at least give him a chance to be the backup. You know what I mean? I know it was financial situations going on with that and all this kind of stuff. But now, you know, all these years later, you know, just comments from Brett Favre, and we're going to kind of listen to it real quick and we'll analyze it. So, you know, here's what Brett Favre was on First Take, and this is kind of how that went down.
What do you think it is?
I think
based off of production and where they got to. You know, they won a Super Bowl with Foles, and that was a little bit surprising. But they're obviously banking on his upside. You know, how many more years do you let it linger before you stick with him or you cut bait? That's a question they only can answer. But I know Doug. Of course, we were together for a long time. He's a very simple coach. He's going to put you in the best possible opportunity to succeed. He's not going to complicate things. So I know it's not Doug. So I'm going to write it off. There's too many injuries.
So, you know, of course, this is what Brett is talking about. And, you know, at the end of the statement, he wanted to make sure that, you know, he didn't want to catch, you know, that none of that smoke from Doug Peterson. So he had to try to button it up with a nice little, you know, nice little button at the end of it. But you know what? That wasn't going to sit too well with Mr. Doug Peterson. He was like, nah, I ain't having none of it, right? So here is the aftermath and the fallout from that. So it says it took a few questions, but Philadelphia Eagles coach Doug Peterson ultimately distanced himself from friend Brett Favre's recent comments that he should have moved forward with Nick Foles instead of Carson Wentz. This is what he said. I respect his opinion and his words. Those aren't mine. Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem. Carson's our guy, bottom line, end of story. That, you know, that's pretty definitive right there. It says, appearing on ESPN's First Take on Tuesday, Favre offered the opinion that the Eagles should have gone in a different direction when choosing Foles and Wentz after Foles helped deliver a Super Bowl championship in 2017 and then rallied the team back into the playoffs a year later. Philadelphia opted to let Foles walk in free agency following the 2018 season before giving Wentz a four-year, $128 million extension. You know what I'm saying? So here's another thing with Favre said. He says, I actually thought they should have kept Nick Foles rather than Carson Wentz just based off production and where they got to. You know, basically I heard he say, you know, they won a Super Bowl. And this kind of, you know, made me think about it, you know, because I said it's one of the things that I've been thinking about for a couple of years or whatever. But Peterson and the crew went back and down off of it. Peterson said twice that he respected Brett Favre's opinion, and he would leave it at that, even when asked to clarify that he didn't share that opinion. On the third try, he strongly backed Wentz. This is what he said. Carson's our guy. Carson was our draft pick. Carson's the guy that's going to carry us and lead this football team. Listen, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Those are not my words. Those are Howie Roseman's words or Jeffrey Lurie's words. Those are his words. I respect that opinion. Whatever he wants to say, that's fine, and we're going to remain friends. It doesn't bother me one way or another. You know, and since Wentz is on track for the worst season of his career, he entered the team's week 9 bye, leading the league in turnovers, 16, 12 interceptions, them been sacked 32 times, ranking 31st in completion percentage, 58.4, and 29th in yards per attempt, 6.1. Asked about Favre's comments, Wentz, this is what he said. At the end of the day, it's really whatever. Everyone has their opinion, so I don't know. You know, and I, you know, here's the thing, and I'm just going to keep it, you know, as real as I possibly can. You know, I think Philadelphia would never admit it. You know, Jeffrey Lurie and Peterson, and none of those guys would never really admit it. But I think they know that they made a mistake. You know what I mean? I think they know. So just let me lay it out for you, right? You know, You got a young quarterback who, you know, like I said, in that season he was playing pretty good, on track for MVP, all that good stuff, playing us, you know, lights out football. He goes down to an injury, right? And you know that that's part of the game. Things happen, not his fault, right? But then you bring in Nick Foles, right? You know, and he has this fantastic playoff run, you know, and then of course the magic that unfolded at the Super Bowl that year is just amazing, right? The next year, you come back and you said, well, listen, I don't know if we want to, because I'm thinking, look, dude, this dude didn't earn the job. He won the ultimate goal. He brought the trophy back to the city. But you would think that would earn him a spot as a starting quarterback. But no, Peterson's like, no, we're not going to do that, right? So this is what they did. And history was just about ready to repeat itself one more time. So they decided to say, no, we're not going to give you the starting position. We're going to go back to our guy, Carson Wentz. You know, and he played okay, but then guess what? He gets hurt again, right? So now they got to make a lot of moves because now they done let Carson Wentz slip through their fingers. I mean, Nick Foles slip through their fingers, and he wind up in the bayous and swamps of Jacksonville somewhere. They had to figure out how to get him back in Philadelphia. He goes on another playoff tear. Unfortunately, it didn't finish the way it did, you know, it did the season before. But still, he came in and was cleaning up the mess again. And then at the end of that, he would think, okay, well, maybe this time they'll offer him a little bit of a reprieve. No, nothing. They give him nothing. They sent him on his way one more time. He winds up in Chicago, you know, out of all places. And so, you know, and now he's doing it again. He's coming in trying to clean up Mr. Trubisky's mess. So, you know, I don't know. I always felt like that dude got a raw deal, you know, and I feel like if Philadelphia had to kind of, you know, showed a little bit more belief in him, you know, maybe they wouldn't be in the mess that they're in right now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I always say that Carson Wentz wasn't that guy. You know, I think he got extremely lucky, strength of schedule. You know, he had an extremely lucky run of opponents that season that they ran into the Super Bowl. And I'm saying, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles did play some really, really good football that season. You know, and a lot of the stuff is for the coaching. I think Doug Peterson definitely outcoached Bill Belichick in that Super Bowl. You know, and he had a quarterback who was able to execute those plans flawlessly, right? You know, and for them not to have the confidence at the end of the season to at least offer this man the backup position, it's crazy to me. You know what I mean? I know if I'm you know, Nick Foles, I probably would have took the backup job. No way, knowing good and well, I just won you this Lombardi Trophy. I would have never done that. You know what I mean? But you know, but the fact that they didn't even extend that courtesy to him was crazy to me. You know what I mean? But that's one of those stories that, you know, for the past couple of years, I've been kind of following it. And, you know, and to hear Brett Favre say what he said, and, you know, knowing how close him and Doug Peterson are, a little bit of rift going on between them right now, but it's what it is. You know what I mean? So, you know, we'll continue to keep on doing it like that. You know what I'm saying? So with all that right there being said, man, you know, I'm excited because, you know, today, like I said, it's a special day. I am going to, you know, do my picks with Glass this week. So I'm excited about that. I'm going to get him on the line, and we're going to do these picks and everything. But for right now, we're going to step away for a minute and take a short break, and we'll be right back with them picks, man. Y'all get ready for it.
What up, peeps? This your boy Glass, a.k.a. The Sage of Sports, and I have my own podcast, The Sage of Sports Podcast, where we talk everything and anything about the current topics in the sports world. I have the hot takes, talk about the latest news, players, trades, and transactions, scores, and my weekly NFL picks. So while you run on them errands, doing them chores, checking stuff off your honey-do list, go ahead, pop in your earbuds, click on the Sage Sports Podcast, take a listen, and be entertained.
Sunday's Best is brought to you in part by Sweetwater Music and Pro Audio. Since 1979, Sweetwater has been home for all music lovers, DJs, broadcasts, podcasters, and live streamers. The collection includes an impressive selection of guitars, microphones, DJ equipment, keyboards, drums and percussion, pro mixers, channel strips, accessories, and more from popular brands. You can save on names like Yamaha, Behringer, Rode M-Audio, Shure, Sennheiser, and Slate Digital. On top of all the amazing products offered at Sweetwater, you can go online and read the news and research from artists and experts in the industry. Sweetwater prides themselves on providing top-notch customer service. So if you ever have a question, you can count on our music experts at Sweetwater to resolve your issue. When you shop, just remember to use one of our Sweetwater coupons that I've included in the show notes. Remember, Sweetwater is Pro Audio. All right, we are back on Sunday's Best. Again, I'm your boy Big Q, and I want to thank you guys for making it this far through the show with me. It's a beautiful thing. Again, I'm going to bring in my boy Glass, and it's going to be cool. We're going to have some fun with these picks. But first, I want to invite you guys to join me on social media. Follow me around on social media, man. I do some cool stuff. I like to tweet during the games on Sundays and whatnot. So you can follow me on Twitter at TeamBoyTV. I'd like to post some really cool stuff and, you know, snippets and things from the shows and the podcast on Instagram. So you can follow me on Instagram at TeamBoyTV. Check out our shenanigans and going on Facebook. You know, we have two Facebook pages. We have facebook.com/TeamBoyTVTurbo and facebook.com/UrbanArenaMedia. Also, our good friends over at sportscaster.com. You guys can go over there and check out the live show over there as well. There's a rabid sports fan base over there that just love this kind of content that we make. You know, and I want to definitely thank everybody who comes out and support the live show. Check the links and things in the subscription. I mean, in the show notes. I have links in the show notes where you can support the show by monthly donation and things like that. Check out the links to how you can support the podcast through Anchor. Also, there are links where you can leave a voice message. That way, You can leave a message and maybe we'll play it on the show and maybe address it and react to it or something like that. But, you know, again, I just want to show my appreciation for everything I've been doing to help support our endeavors here. And it's definitely appreciated. But like I promised you guys, I did have a special guest to help me out with the picks this week. I want to bring in my boy, my homeboy, the Sage of Sports, Glass. What's happening, Glass? What's good?
It's all good, man. It's Thursday. We in week 10.
Absolutely.
Let's get cracking.
Let's do it.
Let's go ahead, bro, and get our week 10 NFL.
Let's do this, man. Let's do this and see. Because you know what? Normally I have Vernie here with me, you know, disagreeing and you know, and throwing me under the shade tree. Let's see what you got for me.
Let's see what you got. Yeah, let's check. This is where his algorithms and how partners really, really get into it.
Yes, right here. Absolutely.
All right, tonight, Thursday night,
yeah,
we have a AFC South battle at the Indianapolis Colts of 5-3, going up to the Nissan Stadium, baby 6-2 Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, when I first saw this game on the schedule, I thought I was going to be excited about it because, you know, Indy seeming like they want to play some ball toward the middle part of the season. They want to kind of get back in the thick of things. With this new expanded playoff situation, you know, even this deep in the season, man, a lot of teams are still in play. It would be nice to see them, you know, bring it. But, you know, Tennessee, like I said on the show last night, they in this whole, you know, proving a point, getting themselves, their singular focus is getting back to the playoffs and finishing what they started last year. And I think it's just kind of where it kicks off at. Tennessee. I got Tennessee by a couple of them. I think they win big in this game. I think I said that last night. I think they win by two scores. Yeah.
All right, cool. Like I said last night, this is division rivals. This is where you take the records and throw them out the window because it's going to be a battle within the division. Both of these teams need this game to get the upper hand or tie up in the division. Like I said, it's Titans 6-2, Colts 5-3. I know the Titans have King Henry, Derrick Henry, running back, the great running back. Mm-hmm. But then again, like I said last night, Colts have the second ranked run defense. And that's going to be a test for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I know it's in Nissan Stadium, but they lost the last two beatings. The Colts beat the Titans twice the last two times in Nissan Stadium. Long as Phillip Rivers doesn't turn the ball over, got a chance. I think they're going to squeak this one out field goal, but I got the Colts over the Titans.
Should be interesting, to say the least. It should be a good game. Yeah.
All right. On Sunday, 12 o'clock, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 6-3 playing a division, another division rival. Mm. 3-6 Carolina Panthers, Big Q's team at Bank of America Stadium. Yeah, bro.
All I'm going to say is this. You know what? I don't want to catch it from nobody. Talk about I'm a homer or nothing like that. I just want people to understand that the Carolina Panthers, who everybody wrote off earlier this season, did go until the final seconds of the game against the reigning Super Bowl champions last week, okay? I just want to make sure that I said that, okay? Now, with that being said, seeing what they showed me last week against the reigning Super Bowl champions, you know what? I think, you know what? And I know nobody really is going to give Carolina a chance in this game, but because of what happened with Atlanta and, you know, and that's when they played the New Orleans. So it was pretty rough, but you know what? I like Carolina in this game. You know what? I think that new young kicker, Sly, they tried him out last weekend at the end of the game. What was it? A 55-yarder? Look, he gonna go for the record. You know what I mean? I think it went by a field goal. In the continuation of burying Tom Brady and stripping him from everything he's worth, tarnishing his legacy further. Here we go. I like it. Carolina by a field goal.
Sound like that's fine.
Okay.
All right.
17-15.
Like I said last night, Tom Brady bounced back after beat the Panthers after the first loss to the Saints in week one.
Yeah.
Same setup this week. They got their teeth kicked in last week by the New Orleans Saints. Uh-huh. Next up, Carolina Panthers. One. Next. Last. Finally. Christian McCaffrey is out on the injury.
But you know what, though? Every game that Christian McCaffrey done started in this season, Carolina took a complete beating. Well, I ain't gonna say every game, but since he's been out, you know, four of the six games that he's been out, they won. So you know what? Christian being on the shelf might be a good thing.
Okay, you can believe that if you want to. Here's my lock.
Yeah.
You ready for this one?
Oh, here we go.
Antonio Brown scores his first touchdown pass.
Okay. I don't think that's much of a lock. I think he'll get a little, you know.
Okay. Right. All right. Next up, we got the Houston Texans. That's 2-6 going up to First Energy Stadium. Play the 5-3 Cleveland Browns. Mm.
Yeah. Again, we talked about this game last night on the show. The Texans, man, it's just sad state of affairs, man. And, you know, and look, this don't even play into my, you know, my fandom of the Cleveland Browns. I just think the Cleveland Browns are a better team right now than Houston, okay? And I think Cleveland's playing at home, too. And, of course, they got some things they need to correct. This is a nice team to try to test that out on, especially when you got the defensive leader who already pretty much stated the fact that he don't want to be there no more. So, Houston is just finishing the season out, just, you know, painting inside the lines. They doing paint by numbers right now. You know what I'm saying? They done. Okay. You know.
All right. So you got the Browns.
Yeah.
All right. I understand Cleveland Browns. They on a nice little road. They doing good this season. They're coming off a bye. Everybody should be healthy, except for OBJ. But with that being said, yeah, I think Deshaun Watson going to rally the troops. They're going to circle the wagons. They're going to do something over here in First Energy Stadium. And I think the Texans will steal this game because Mayfield will not protect the football.
Oh, wow.
So wow. I'm going to call the upset. I'm going to have I don't know if you want to call it upset. I got the Texans over the Cleveland Browns.
Wow. No faith in Baker Mayfield. That's cool. That's cool. It's all right.
Next up, we got the Washington football team. That's 2-6 going up to Ford Field to play the 3-5 Detroit Lions.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know what? Nothing really great is happening with the. You know, at least I do see Washington trying to do some stuff. You know what I mean? They trying to do some stuff. You know, and you know the few wins that they got. What are they? They won one or two games, right?
Who?
Washington.
Two games.
Yeah. So you know, and I don't know. It was a toss up. It's in Detroit, so the Detroit got the home field advantage. I think Washington going there. You know, maybe the only thing they got worth fighting for this season is their coach, even though he did come out and ring the bell and say that he's cancer free and all that good stuff. But you know, maybe that's what it is. That's it. That's all I really got. Ain't nothing else really popping. You know what I mean? I like Washington in this game. I think this one's gonna be one of the more lackluster games of the week. You know, you never know. They might put on the show, but I doubt it.
Okay. You know. I'm agree with you on this one. I'm gonna go with Washington because I think since coach is trying to change the culture of the team, I think this is the season where it's gonna change to the better. Mm-hmm. Alex Smith, I'm scared of that. All the surgeries he went through, and he's starting on this team, and I'm not saying he got a good protection offensive line.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he came back, but I'm scared of him getting hit. That's just me. And I know what's the starter quarterback he out for the season because he having an ankle surgery.
Oh, Kyle Allen.
There you go. Yeah. Kyle Allen. Thank you. So it's Alex Smith team right now. With that being said, he do have 2 100-yard receivers in Terry McLaurin and Cam Sims. Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford. He got a nice little wide receiver squad over there, but I just think Washington got a little bit more fortitude to win this game, so I'm
gonna
go with Washington football team.
Yeah, I think that's probably gonna be a safe bet for most people, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, Jacksonville Jaguars 1-7 going up to Lambeau Field to play the 6-2 Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Don't waste time on this one.
No, because you know
I'm gonna let you know. Jacksonville Jaguars, I think they in the run with the New York Jets to try to get
man, sunshine. How far might have fallen, man? Jacksonville, just two short seasons ago. Well, right there. Yeah. Right there, man. Well, you know, that's where these franchises are made. Like, you got to win now. You know what I mean? You got to do it.
You know, have you noticed that all the storied franchises, They more durable. They last longer.
Yeah.
These new franchises that came up in the league, they quickly. If you don't get it right now, we're gonna just.
I mean, when you have that one particular squad, you got to strike while the iron is hot, or
exactly.
You're gonna be another 10 years before you get that combination again. You know what I mean? So
totally agree.
Yeah.
All right, man. Next up is a NFC East division. Mm. It shouldn't take long with this one. Yeah. Philadelphia Eagles 3-4-1.
Yeah.
I hate that. Going up to MetLife Stadium, played the 2-7 New York Giants.
Yeah. You know what? I don't want to dwell on because you know because it is something that we talk about on the podcast today. This Eagles quarterback, like I have my reservations about Carson Wentz, and the story that I came across this morning when I was preparing for the show just opened my eyes up and confirmed a lot of things that I was already thinking. You know what I mean? And how the Eagles been in disarray at the quarterback position since the Chip Kelly days. And this whole notion of, you know, they won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. They didn't believe in him. And they believed in Carson Wentz. We ain't proved nothing since he came back. You know, it's a big mess. You know what I'm saying? One thing that's constant in New York, you can say what you want to say about them. But one thing is constant is Daniel Jones. Right? So I'm going with the New York Giants.
I really can't debate you on that one. It's a coin flip on this game. Yeah. I hear what you say about Carson Wentz. I think the injury messed his legacy in the NFL.
Oh yeah.
Before he got injured, he was MVP.
He was. I mean, it was.
He got back problems now. He got a fractured back, or whatever. Yeah. And it's just like, man, he is nowhere near. He's a show of himself for what he was 2 years
ago. Yeah, but now, you know, and now Lurie and Peterson, them sitting around like, man, we done made this long-term commitment to this guy. And maybe we married the wrong chick.
You know exactly. Right. So neither here nor there. I'm still stick with the Eagles. I hear what you say about the Giants. They show glimmer of hope every now and then.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to forget that game when they play the Eagles and Daniel Jones got to the secondary and had them blow back. He blew by them.
Oh yeah.
Then ran out of gas.
I'm telling you, man. That's your point.
That right there tells me the reason why I'm picking the Philadelphia. Hey, but Eagles.
You best believe he'd had. He been working on that cardio ever since that day. It never happened again.
That's still
it. Never happened again.
So you got the Giants. I got the Eagles.
Yes.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we got the 2-6. Los Angeles Chargers going up to Hard Rock Stadium play Tua Tagovailoa. And the 5-3 Miami Dolphins.
Yep, the Dolphins, you know what? Again, you know, it was a story that I was talking about in depth last week on Sunday's Best. And, I ain't going to say what I said last night because, you know, maybe the hyperbole was a little bit off the charts when I talked about Tua last night. But, you know, in this whole justification of making a quarterback change and all that. Whatever you want to say, it doesn't spark this team. And they're playing fantastic football right now. They're at home again against a team that I really don't think is on their level. You know what I mean? The Dolphins have shown me that their youth and exuberance is kind of outweighing a lot of other things. They just got so much energy. And it's hard to contain that. And I don't think that the Chargers are going to be able to do that. You know what I mean? So I like Tua to continue his third game winning streak, man. You know what I mean? I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I don't know. You know, Brian Flores doing a great job on that team. He could be coach of the year. You never know. Just because of that flip that he did with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua.
Yeah.
That being said, like I said last night, I'm like you said, I'm not going to ish on Tua Tagovailoa right now, but I'm going to put more stock on the Miami Dolphins defense.
Yeah.
They first in scoring defense, and the last 3 weeks they had the opposing team didn't score no more than 17 points more than them.
Yeah,
so with that being said, and they're playing at home.
Yeah,
and I need more of a sample size from Tua, but I think it's going to be enough. I think the Dolphins will beat the Chargers.
Yeah.
Now with that being said, the Chargers they just have bad luck, man. There's games that they should have won that they was winning, and they're losing at the end.
Yeah.
I just hope the coach doesn't lose his job because of this season.
I hope he don't either, because you got the new rookie quarterback, and it's growing pains for the young quarterback, number one. And then, you don't want him to be like Ryan Tannehill, who had a different coaching staff for like the first four seasons that he played, right? You don't want that. You know what I mean? And then I think Baker Mayfield's going through the same thing, so on and so on. So, that's a bad situation. You know what I mean? Like, at least, you need to keep a new coach and a new quarterback together for at least three seasons, I think.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Okay. We both got the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Next up, we got the 7-2 Buffalo Bills going up to State Farm Stadium, play the 5-3 Arizona Cardinals. It's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a good one. That one's going to be a good one. And that one is going to have some highlights for you right there, boy. And, man, we got speed versus like strength and
durability.
Yeah. You know what? I think at the end of it, I think by the time the clock runs out, because I think Buffalo going to be playing from behind most of the time in this game. But I think the defense is really going to shine in the fourth quarter, and they'll figure out a way to get a really, really close win. I do think they're going to be playing from behind most of the time, though, because I think the Cardinals are going to jump out on them. The Bills are going to be playing from behind. But I think they're going to figure out a way to win this game. I got them winning by a small margin, maybe 1 or 2 points, something like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now going by what you're saying.
Yeah.
If the Cardinals jump out on the lead, this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
That's where Josh Allen
frizzled out. You're right.
He tried to do more than what he's supposed to do. He tried to put the team on his back, and that's where he messes up.
Right.
Time and time again, that's what he's been doing.
Might be the game to defy that narrative. This is where he may want to prove all everybody who's saying that about him wrong.
I think, but as a whole, the Buffalo Bills are more physical than the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're gonna keep Kyler Murray in the box, keep him there, don't have him run out. I think, like I said, the physicality of that defense is gonna win this game.
Yeah,
it might be by a field goal, just like you said, 3 to 4 points.
Yeah,
I'm agree with you. It's gonna be the Buffalo Bills over the Cardinals, but I would not be shocked if it twists the other way around.
I know, right? I think the Cardinals will hold the lead most of the time in this game, because it's hard for me to think. And again, these games have surprised us over the weeks or whatever, but it's hard for me to think that Buffalo would jump out and be able to hold a lead against a team that's got that many offensive weapons. It's just hard for me to believe that, but we done seen some strange things though. Yeah.
All right, next up, we got my beloved Denver Broncos, that's 3-5, going up to the Death Star, aka Allegiant Stadium, playing 5-3 Las Vegas Raiders. This is an AFC West.
Yeah. Division game. I'm gonna let you know what secret you probably didn't know about. Me and Verna was watching the game last week. And she was cheering for whoever. Who was the Broncos playing against? Anyway, she was like, whatever, I just don't want to see Locke dance, right? She was just like, I don't want to see.
That's what she said.
Guess what she said? So she was like, she hates this young dude, right? She hates him with a passion. Can't stand him.
She hates Drew Locke.
Can't stand him. She said that he's a culture. What they call it? A culture vulture? That's what they call it.
Yeah.
But
come on, Bernie.
Yeah, man,
that's
crazy.
That's my man right there.
He is crazy. But
they played the Falcons last week.
That's what it was, right? Yeah. But I like the kid. It's just, again, they still trying to figure this offense out. And I think, Denver is kind of suffering from the same, ailment as Carolina. It's hard for them to generate, productive offense to get points on the board. We need more than field goals. And I say the same thing about my team, is that, at least the Broncos don't have this red zone problem. But, just generating offense, and points, period, it seemed to be a struggle for them. So, and I don't think that's going to come so hard for the Raiders. I think the Broncos are staying this game, and they're staying there. I like the Raiders in this window. I think Raiders pull this one off by a field goal. I think the Broncos do enough to stay in it. Not a whole lot of scoring in this game, but Raiders win by kicks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I believe I also agree it's gonna be a close game, but of course I'm gonna go the other way around. Uh-huh. Usually I am unbiased in this situation, but I just think Drew Locke is gonna have a connection with Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, and KJ Hamler.
Mm-hmm.
I think the run game, even though the Raiders have a great run game with what's his name, Jacob Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But Jacobs. That's what I'm talking about. But I think Melvin Gordon going to show up in this game. You know what I'm saying? So he going to have a point to prove.
Yeah.
Like you said, 3 to 4 points. But yeah. I got the Denver Broncos over the Raiders on this one.
Yeah. You know, I just don't see either team scoring more than 21 points in this game.
I kind of agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
All right, man. The AFC North battle between the 2-5-1 Cincinnati Bengals. They go up to Heinz Field to play the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm. Are they going to be the team that's going to upset the Steelers?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, this is a division game, but it's just the Bengals are just too young, man, except for AJ Green. You know, and it's just. I don't think the relationship between Green and Burroughs is where it needs to be just yet. I think we got some trust issues there. You know what I mean? And I have a thing about the Steelers not being, especially after we saw what they went through last week. It was, you know, that shouldn't have been, that shouldn't have happened. There's no way that should have went down the way it did. But and does that show me that the Steelers are not, you know, that undefeated, you know, title that they're holding right now is a counterfeit. You can say what you want to say. I still think they've been, you know, helped out by COVID-19. And I think that, you know, they stole the Titans' momentum. I still believe that. But they're any better than the Bengals, though. You know what I mean? Like, I think they'll win this game, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I agree with you. Well, I'm going to disagree with this. Don't blame the Steelers for the COVID-19. That was on the Tennessee Titans. That was their fault.
It was their fault. Right? They got fined for it. So they got discipline for
this game. If you heard, Ben Roethlisberger has been placed on the COVID-19 list.
Right.
I don't know if they say he's playing. I guess they're going to wait. They was going to wait 5 days from the last game to see if he cleared to play.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard it yet. It is Thursday afternoon.
Right.
Don't know yet. But with that being said, he did have knee injuries last week. Hopefully this time of rest will help him out.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. We're talking about the Steelers who lead the league with 4 sacks per game.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow, I like him, but he's going to be running for his life on this game. All that shit. And they playing at home, Heinz Field. I got the Steelers over the Bengals.
Yeah. They'll stay on the field for at least 1 or 2 more weeks. And then... you know, then we'll see. They schedule just rolling out pretty easy for them right now. And they end up beating the Ravens the first meeting already, right? Have they beat the Ravens twice yet? No, not yet.
No, it's coming up. I think week 17 might be Steelers and Ravens.
Right. So we'll see. I don't know. I doubt if they're still undefeated at that time, but we'll see.
I agree.
Yeah.
Somebody gonna slip up in there and get them. My motto is I want to lose one game before going to the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to go up in there undefeated.
Yeah.
Next up, we got a NFC West divisional matchup between 6-2 Seattle Seahawks playing the 5-3 Los Angeles Rams at SoFi Stadium.
Seahawks need to get themselves together, and you know, and every time the Rams have been in a situation. And this is why I said last night I was losing my faith. Erica, you know, if they're in a game that you think they can win easily, they can win it easily. But you get them in a situation like this, though, and, you know, the play calling gets crazy. Goff goes off script. You know what I mean? Passes get dropped. You know what I mean? It's rough, man. And then, you know, of course, the defense, they get flustered, all these defensive pass interference calls and all that. It gets real messy when you put them in a big game situation like this. And, you know, and I think... that trend continues here. I think, you know, the Seahawks going to carve them up. I think the Seahawks going to put on a clinic, you know what I'm saying, against the division foe. You're going to see that mamba come out of Russell Wilson in this game. you know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got the Seahawks by at least 14.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with everything that you said. Yeah. Rams coming off a bye week, which is a plus for them.
Yeah.
And I know. Sean McVay is that coach and everything, but so is Pete Carroll coming off of a loss to who they meet last Bill.
Yep.
You know, lick their wound. They got a point to prove on this one. They should be the top dog in the NFC West. And all that's being said, weakest link, which will be the problem around, is Jared Goff.
Yep.
Jared Goff, he's going to have some turnovers, going to mess him up. And that's how they're going to lose the game. So I got the Seahawks over the Rams.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Hey, we got the 4-5 San Francisco 49ers going up to Mercedes-Benz Superdome to play the 6-2 on the Saints.
It's a waste of a
trip. I'll go first on this one. Yeah. I'm going to make it quick.
Yeah.
49ers ain't got enough to go up against.
It's a waste of a trip across country, man. It's a waste of a trip across country.
I agree. Now, I think, wasn't it the last time they met up? If I'm mistaken, I think the 49ers beat the Saints in Superdome.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they did. It is. But that ain't
happening
here. Yeah. This is before they lost everybody on their team. And before their quarterback went healthy, showed his true self. You know what I mean? He been riding coattails all his career, and he'd have been exposed, you know, for the fraud that he really is, you know. But, you know, I digress about Jimmy Garoppolo. The more important story is the injuries with the 49ers. So that's the thing. And the Saints ain't gonna look at that and be like, and hold back. They're gonna destroy it just because. You know what I mean? Right. So, right. Yeah.
And this be the sixth straight Saints. Yeah. Saints on the roll, man.
They are. You know.
They slowly but surely flying under the radar, doing their damage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they are.
All right. Baltimore Ravens, 6-2 going up to Gillette Stadium to play Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. That's 3-5.
Yeah, so you know, normally this would be one of them games that I would be worried about Lamar Jackson in, because it would normally be considered a big game. But since the Patriots are not the Patriots that we know and love anymore, they don't pose that much of a threat. It's like almost like a viper that got defanged. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And man, I think this would be another one of them situations where Lamar Jackson and the Ravens walk into somebody's stadium and smack them around and go back home. And you know what I mean? And there gonna be no problems. There ain't gonna be no problems whatsoever, right? We'll come on the show next week and talk about how great Lamar Jackson is and all that good stuff. And then, you know, and then the next week they'll play against a big team and they'll get embarrassed. And that's just the way it works. You know what I'm saying? Right? So yeah, I don't think the Ravens gonna run into too many issues here.
I agree.
Yeah.
This time I think it was Sunday Night Football last season. The Ravens blew out the Patriots 37-20.
Yeah.
That was with Tom Brady.
Right.
Now we're talking about Cam Newton and the less talented New England Patriots. They ain't going to waste any time. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Ravens over the Patriots. It's going to be a blowout.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Last game, Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
NFC North battle. We got the Minnesota Vikings at 3-5 going up to Soldier Field to play my hometown in Surrey. Chicago Bears is 5-4.
Yeah.
This is where the tide will turn, where the Bears will lose traction against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, it is weird. It's so weird that, you know, because now we got this crazy playoff situation or whatever. The craziness that went down in Minnesota in the beginning of the season might not hurt them too bad, you know. You know, especially, you know, considering, you know, the condition in the situation that the division is in. And you're right, the Vikings going up, the Bears are going down. You know what I'm saying? It's like they passing each other in the hallway or whatever, you know. And, you know, I like the Vikings. Is it a little too late? I don't know. It's hard to really, with this new playoff thing, it's hard to really gauge that. I mean, like, I know they had a horrible start. And, you know, back in the day, it'd be like, if you go 0-3, your season is over. And that's not the case no more. So, but I like them in this game, you know what I mean? But as far as postseason play, that's something we have to work out later on down the line. But they're still in it. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I think, talk about what you said, they have a chance to make it to the wild card if they continue to have a winning streak. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It can happen.
Right.
I don't think they're going to surpass the Packers in the NFC North. That's nowhere near. No. I think they started off too late.
The Packers have to have an epic collapse in order for that to happen. Yeah.
But back to this game, I hate to say it because I thought the Bears started off good, but I think they forgot who they were. Well, no, I think they came to the realization of who they were. They need to clean it up. So that being said, I think Dalvin Cook is going to run roughshod over this team at Soldier Field. So I got the Vikings over the hometown Bears.
Yeah, man. That's going to be a good one,
Teams that's on the bye. The Atlanta Falcons, Dallas Cowboys,
good.
Kansas City Chiefs, and the New York Jets. The New York Jets is just a living bye week.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because, you know, I think this week saved them from going 0-10, right? This week saved them from going 0-10. And we said they were going to be 0-10. We said they were going to be 0-10. I don't think they're going to go winless, though. I think they're going to win at least two games. I think they get two. Somebody gonna have mercy on them and not care. And then somebody gonna just slip up and get beat.
I'll say they'll win week 17 when it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. You know.
I don't know where you're gonna find that other one.
Like I gotta say somebody gonna slip up, man. Somebody gonna slip up like Ben and them almost slipped up against the Cowboys. Eh? Somebody gonna slip up, you know what I mean? And get got. Right. Yeah. So it was pretty good. All right, that's going to be our show for this week. Once again, I want to thank everybody for checking the podcast out on all the different platforms and everything. And the support has been tremendous. I definitely appreciate everything that's been going on with the podcast. I also want to thank my guest this week, Glass, for coming in and helping with these picks. I appreciate it, Glass.
I'm here for you, bro. Yes, sir.
All righty. And that's going to do it for the Sunday's Best for week 10. And Lord willing, we'll do it again next week. Y'all take it easy. Peace.